Grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. You've tuned into the only multi-generational conversation on the roles of fathers in society. Welcome to Dads and Beer.
Chris Jordan, your host, and today on Dads and Beer, we're having one of my favorite dads in the world on, Pops Davis. He's been a guest on the Dudes and Beer program numerous times, especially at our Meekum episodes. We've got a Meekum Live coming up soon, so that's going to be super fun. But, you know, one of the things that we talk about here on Dads and Beer all the time is education. And at Dudes and Beer, we're all about reading and growing of the human brain, whether it's science fiction, horror, history, your favorite how-to books, whatever. Books are great. But in the hustle and bustle and daily grind of everyday life, it sure can be hard to find the time to sit down and turn the pages. That's where Audible comes in, folks. It's an awesome new audiobook service from Amazon. Audible is the perfect way to catch up with all of your favorite reading on the go. You can listen to your favorite books, whether it's in your home, in the car, at the gym, whatever. Even if you switch devices, you will not lose your place in your story. You can listen to A-list celebrities narrate your favorite stories, enjoy full cast performances, discover Grammy Award-winning audiobooks, and more. And with the largest library of audiobooks, you're sure to find the perfect book to listen to. If you don't love a book, swap it out for free anytime. All you have to do is visit audibletrials.com/dudesandbeer to get your free 30-day trial of Audible today. What do you get with that deal? You get a 30-day free membership plus a free book when you get started to begin reading immediately. You get one credit per month after that trial toward any audiobook regardless of price. You can listen to premium audio offline with the app. You can also build your own library. You can keep the books even if you cancel the membership. They're yours forever. And you also get exclusive members-only savings at 30% off of additional audiobooks. And don't forget, easy exchanges. If you don't like a book, swap it out for free anytime. Once again, visit audibletrials.com/dudesandbeer today to join the amazing Audible audiobook service from Amazon and start listening to your favorite books today. That website, again, is audibletrials.com/dudesandbeer. Start reading your favorite books with your ears today, folks. And on the phone with me right now is actually Pops Davis. How you doing today, Pops?
I'm doing wonderful. If it's any better, it'd have to be two of me.
I know, right? So good, so good it should be illegal, and probably is in some states.
Well, thanks for having me on again. I really enjoy our talks, and I enjoy being part of Dudes and Beer and Dads and Beer, and just everything is I'm very appreciative of it.
Well, thank you so much. And, you know, it's funny because I was just reflecting the other day whenever I put the call out and was like, hey, you know, you want to do an episode of Dads and Beer? Then I got crazy busy yesterday and we didn't get to record it. But it's right at like 20 years since I met you for the first time. And that just blows my mind that like I've literally known you just over half my life.
Yeah.
You know, it was like 21, 22 years ago. And it's like, wow, that's really wild. But I remember distinctly, you know, especially being a kid, 19, 21 years old at the time, like, there's something distinctive whenever you have a friend's father or mom or parent that actually treats you like a person, treats you like an equal, doesn't treat you necessarily like a kid. And that's something that always struck me about you and Michael's mother, was that you utterly appreciated the fact that we were adults, we were grown-ass people, you know, right decision, wrong decision, we were grown folks and we needed to make it for ourselves. And like you said, you always enjoyed the discussion that we have on this show. I've always enjoyed my discussions that I had with you because you had honest, open discussions like what we were having off mic, you know, just a little while ago before we started recording, where it's just, it's honest, it's candid. You know, there's no reason to pull any punches whatsoever. And I think that's what's necessary in society nowadays. And I want to thank you for being a part of that and for being a part of this show and being willing to talk about such things. So thank you. You're a huge influence on me as a father. You know, like the intro said, it's the only multi-generational podcast about fatherhood in America. And you are the first person that I've had on. Granted, there's only been 3 episodes of this so far. We do it about every other week, but Joshua, your son, your youngest, was the first guest, and that episode went fantastically well. And it was interesting because my first 2 guests were actually considerably younger than me. But yet still had like a good track record of being parents over me, you know, like a good clip of time.
you got blessed later in life than a whole lot of these others.
Yeah. You know, and it took me longer to figure out what I wanted to do, everything else. And yeah, my blessing came along in my early 40s rather. So the blessing is sitting over here to my left as we speak, eyeing me on the microphone. So.
Goodness, that's a great feeling when they're just staring at you and looking at everything you do, and they're gonna mimic you.
Yeah,
and it's a big responsibility that a lot of people just don't understand anymore, you know.
Well, and let's get into that a little bit. Let's break that statement apart because you come from an interesting background. Everything else, tell us a little bit about your upbringing, Pop.
Well, my dad was in the oil field in my early youth, and he had gone to SMU. And then he finished up down at Baylor with an engineering geology major. Mm-hmm. So we were always on the go as far as our family. When I was 32 years old, I'd still moved an average of every 6 months of my life.
Oh, wow.
In the early days, he was working in the oil field, contemplating his college future and making a little money, trying to get things going. So we were just all over Texas and in Oklahoma. And we might be someplace for 2 weeks, and then we might be someplace for 6 months. But you know, it was always on the go, and actually, I pretty well continued that until midlife, and I've been in Dallas for 37 years now.
Oh, wow.
So I've got, when we were growing up, we grew up all over the country, working for the government, different places, normally about 2 years. And then, even earlier than that, we went to Costa Rica and lived down in San Jose, while my dad was doing some experimental, lobster trapping.
Oh, wow.
And just
a little different than your standard oil field work.
Yeah, a lot different. Yeah. Well, dad was for a long, long time, only like one of three engineering geologists in the country. So he was on a lot of different diverse projects. And anyway, after it got settled in Dallas and married my lovely late wife, Patricia, mm-hmm. We were doing just wonderfully. Financially, we were doing great, and as a result, I spent all my money traveling. My greatest wish was to travel and see the world.
The return of the wanderlust.
Yeah, and so we traveled a lot. I can say that I've seen different parts of three quarters of the world.
Wow!
And all those things in between. Been to every state in the union except North and South Dakota and North and South Carolina. Now I intend on remedying that. But okay. So anyway, grew up in construction and went into machining and welding and had our own business and had a real wonderful life. Yeah. Patty passed away, and I'm now with Susan, and we are trying to get to where we can continue the adventures.
Yeah.
So that being said, that's kind of me. In my upbringing, my dad was authoritarian. Still believed in the switch and the belt.
Sure.
And thank God for that, because it's what I needed.
you strike me as the steel-headed type. a bit of a hard head, as they say in my family, you know, just kind of, you know what you're supposed to do, but really seems like a suggestion.
Exactly. Exactly. kind of like wearing a helmet on a motorcycle.
Yeah. You know, kind of like building race cars.
Yeah, that's right. I've been a maverick all my life, and paid attention, you know.
I was gonna ask, you know, especially because I've known a few Army brats in my life, things like that, and they definitely have the wanderlust more than most because of the moving around and everything. What do you think was the most important thing that you gleaned from that experience? Because, I mean, of course it's tough on any family whenever you're moving that frequently. You know, it's tough on you developmentally as a kid in school. It's hard to make friends. It's hard to want to make friends and not see them, you know, like as goldfish, you know, where it's like, what are you going to do? Name your eighth goldfish like Jaws number 8, you know? Like,
you know,
you have a goldfish and that's cool, but you aren't going to have a goldfish forever because it's a goldfish, you know, and you eventually develop that calloused mentality, you know. So did you find it was like that with you as you grew up? Was it hard for you to make friends, to reach out into social circles, things like that? Because, I mean, you're a pretty gregarious guy.
Well, I was going to say, I am gregarious, and it always pained me to leave a place having made friends there.
Yeah.
But because of that background, I have gone everywhere in the world, and I have absolutely no problem getting along with people of any race, nationality. It's only when you get governments involved in things do things fall apart. But I gleaned that. That's the biggest thing that I gleaned was the ability to adapt and be gregarious and have fun with life. And that's I the gregariousness got me through it. And as I said, I paid attention to what was going on in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And, you know, like myself, I guess, coming from a large social family, things like that, I was much more of a wallflower. You know, it was one of those, like, once you got to know me, if you took the time to get to know me, like, yeah, you know, I was a pretty cool guy to hang around. But I wasn't going to go, like, out of my way seeking a group of people to be accepted by. I was much more of a solitary person, even to this day, like hold a close circle of maybe four or five friends, you know? And I guess that was kind of a guardedness that I had. And it's funny because Amy, my wife, of course, as you know, some listeners may not, but my wife, all she has known, like, sure, we went to UD together, but it was a crossing paths relationship because she was in the theater crowd and I hung out with the theater crowd, you know? It wasn't like we sat down and had conversations, things like that. We may have, like, once or twice, because she dated one of my really good friends. So I know I saw her coming and going from the apartment, and I guarantee you I talked to her once or twice for like 5 minutes, you know, and like smoked a cigarette or something while she was waiting for Chris to get home. But she's like, I've always known you to like be this socially gregarious, like business minded, really focused, like hyper focused, you know, like all about your business, going to go in and promote some stuff and, you know, talk to anybody about it type person. And I'm like, yeah, that was not me in college. Like when I was 19 years old, that was the complete and utter opposite of me. I was the dude
but it's a growing thing.
It's a
thing that, well, I'm sure at UD you saw things that you wanted to mimic. And you saw things that you definitely didn't want to mimic. So it was a growing thing. And so, you know, continuing education, I'm for that. I'm all for that. Although, if you don't like the word, and you like working with your hands, I am even more for that as well, because that was the path I took.
Well, and you know, and that's one thing that I want to talk to you about, because I mean, that's the path that my father took. He grew up in a service station, gas station that his mother and father owned. So he grew up like busting tires, things like that. And my mom always tells the story of when he got hired by Cooper Tire and Rubber Company. You know, the head salesman of the territory, the manager, was a little upset that the guy hired him because he didn't have a college degree. And, you know, that was the big thing. You know, you got to have the college degree back then whenever you moved into upper management, upper sales, that kind of stuff. And he was like, hey, man, he may not have a college degree, but what this kid has that someone with a college degree don't, he's been around tires since the age of 8. Like this man has lived and breathed tires for like the last 20 years of his life, you know?
Three quarters of his life.
So it was like, it was natural on the job training. And that's something that, you know, I don't know that too many people are actively able to give to their kid anymore. You know, like you were talking about your dad being a geologist and an engineer. Like, that means he, just for those of you who don't understand, folks, that means like he's out in an oil field, like maintaining equipment. He's got to know how all this equipment works. He has to know not only how to repair it, but how to suggest repairs, how to suggest maintenance, everything else.
and then you add the geology part of it.
Exactly, exactly. North. There's nothing clean about either one of those. You know, geology is probably the dirtiest of all applied sciences. Next to maybe biology, I guess, because you get into some pretty nasty stuff with biology.
I agree. But I do like biology because now, you know, I can skin and eat anything in the world.
Sure. And, you know, but see, that once again, though, is one of those, it's a skill. And there's a difference between education and skill. Like, I had plenty of education. I also fortunately had people like my son's namesake, Dalbus, my grandfather, who I spent a lot of time with, who was a trained craftsman, woodworker, things like that, cabinet maker, mechanic in the Army, that kind of stuff. So between him and my dad, like, I did learn a lot of working with my hands. Like you said, your dad went out and, like, did lobstering, like experimental lobster catching, nonetheless, you know, like working on new methods of lobster catching, that kind of stuff. And that is not for the weak of heart, you know.
No.
Like, you're out there whenever you're doing it. And, you know, yeah, that, like, what was that like for you as a kid to see that? And how much did you try and instill that in Michael and Joshua, your children?
Well, I tell you what, I was doubly blessed because my father was a scientist, and he taught me to question everything and not take for granted answers that had come previously. So I learned the scientific method from my father. And my mother was a great, great artist and communicator and teacher, and believed in the classic education. So,
yeah. The R's.
The R's. Yeah. But with lots and lots and lots of history, and so I got some serious curiosity from my father, and I got some serious groundedness in life from the artistic side. And so I was, like I said, I was doubly blessed.
Yeah.
My father and I, we didn't always get along. I mean,
well, I mean, you said authoritarian, so that like you said, someone who ain't afraid to use the switch if he has to.
That's correct.
I'm much more of a fan of the palm myself. As long as I'm never buying my child the TIE fighter, though. Because that's what I did. I knew it was coming one day, and I threw my TIE fighter wing in the back of my pants, and my pop was just so incensed, he didn't even see it coming. That was not a wise move, kids, just so you know. Don't anger the man that's about to whoop you. don't like do something to extra piss him off.
Yeah,
a little piece of advice that I learned at like age 9.
Right.
And, but,
okay, so anyway, to answer the other part of the question, what did I gain from all that? I gained an intense curiosity about how things worked. What make people do what they do, the sciences are I just follow I follow all the science, paleontology.
Yeah.
I just follow all the sciences. And when I was working in my business, my art was the craftsmanship that I put into my pieces, whether I was making one of them or 10,000 of them.
Yeah.
That was my art. That was the way I expressed that. I'm not a thespian. I would love to do, but I can't remember my own name sometimes. So
yeah,
lines don't work for me.
Yeah.
Give me a straight line and I can make something out of it. But intense curiosity about the world and a joy of what is around me and the things that I see, the natural beauty, the beauty in all things.
Yeah, whether it be, I mean, I've noticed you have a true childlike enthusiasm about you. Like you still even at there's no nice way to say it, even at your age, you still have an incredible sense of wonder and awe. You know, you meet so many people that once they hit 50, it's like, no, oh, whatever, you know, like they don't really like search for excitement. You know, they don't really like search for that experience anymore. You know, they're just so settled in stuff. And like, for instance, when I asked you to come to Meekum, you were like, yeah, all right. And then once you were at Meekum, it was like, oh, man, it was like, you know, just like seeing your eyes light up was just like watching a kid walk around, you know. It was great. And yeah, it was fantastic. And to see someone that still, you know, has that sense of wonder and awe in life is what I aspire to, you know?
Yeah. Don't ever let it go away. I mean, I'm going to have to say it's a gift because not all people have it.
Well, it is. To get deep and Catholic on it, it's actually a gift of the Holy Spirit. And I guess beyond Catholic, really Christian, even into Judaism, because that's where the gifts come from, is from the prophet Isaiah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, it is a gift. It is something that you have to nurture and it has to be nurtured in you.
And my mother did that for me.
Yeah.
On the other side, so I can look at things, I can see them lineally, and I can see them peripherally.
Yeah.
You know, I guess that's not too deep, I guess.
Well, it's the fact of you can see the forest and the trees.
Yeah.
And I explain that to a lot of people all the time, is that, you know, and that's what makes you a good engineer. You know, that's what makes me a good engineer with audio video, is that I can, and with putting up huge projects and shows and even doing small detailed repetitive stuff, is that I understand the depth and the breadth of a situation. You know, just to look at something from one angle is, by all education that we have been given in our life, narrow-minded and wrong.
Yes. Yeah, I do agree.
And sure. Leads to a bias, to say the least.
Yeah. Well, our education system in the United States, we've talked about this before, is abysmal at best and criminal. Actually criminal. And we'll do that on a Dudes and Beer pod, something about the NWO.
Where it's not as inspirational as Dads and Beer.
Yeah, exactly. You want to piss me off?
Yeah.
Start talking politics.
Well, and you know, that's just it, though, is that you do have to have that tempered temperament. I had a very good friend that in his mid-20s right now that, man, just as hot-headed as you can get. And I remember being that way in my 20s without actually, like, understanding everything. And now I look at it, and it's like things that, I guess about 2-3 years ago, when I was moving some stuff out of my mom's garage, things like that, I ran across an old journal from high school. And I was just reading some of the problems that I dealt with, and it was like, oh, dude, I solve that problem while I'm taking a leak in the morning, you know.
Yeah.
Like I don't that doesn't even warrant a page in my book of life anymore, you know.
Yeah.
Like, thank God for that, because that was apparently like on my mind enough that I had to write it down, you know.
Right.
It was one of those like, oh man, what the hell, like,
yeah,
that's just crazy sauce. And it does take people pushing you in the direction of education, people pushing you in the direction of educating you the way that an education befits you. My mom always said she was happy whenever I found the field that I'm in and started making money in the field that I'm in, because she always said that outside of the seminary, whenever I went to the seminary my first year in college, the only other thing she ever saw me doing was like going to ITT. Or something like that, and like learning to design circuits or learning to fix stuff, because that's what I did like all the time. And well, now I actively like build circuits and design circuits, things like that. So,
right.
It is that, and I didn't learn to do that until my mid-30s. You know.
Yeah. But I still don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Well, and that's just it. Like, here I am at 42 and about to literally celebrate in 2 days the second anniversary of this show, of Dudes and Beer. And it's like at 40 years old, I decided to completely start doing something totally different in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it makes me happy.
Right. Right.
And it scratches an itch that I have. And I've fortunately landed a wife that's understanding enough to let me scratch the itch every now and then.
You did marry up, my son.
I did. And it's, you know, people asked me why I waited so long. And it's like, well, I don't know. I saw my dad get married 5 times. maybe I was trying to avoid that.
Exactly.
You know, maybe I'm trying to get it right the first time. So even our courtship was like 2.5 years, you know, which in this day and age is like, whoa, what's that? Like, you know, that's one of those like, so is this relationship ever going anywhere? You know, like that's the conversation that gets had nowadays at 2.5 years. So when it came to that, because I mean, like, I taught sex and sexuality to 7th graders for years, for like a good decade of my life, if not a little bit more than that. And it's going to be an interesting conversation when it comes time to this sleeping lad over here next to me. But
at least your experience with it. So
yeah,
it's going to be easy.
That's true. I mean, at least I can give him like some scientific reference. Okay, son, so here's the mechanics. Limbering exercises. That's the trick. Calisthenics. But how did you, when once you started your family, how old were you when Michael sprang up?
I was 20 years old.
Okay. And that's right up around a typical age, between 20 and 25 is when most people have their first child. We are in extraordinary circumstance. Now, this is an awkward question, but an honest one. Were you okay with things whenever you first heard about it? You know, were you like in a place in life where you felt like you were ready for that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it definitely was. I was going to school as an auto mechanic, and we've talked about that before. And that's kind of was my plan. I mean, get married to a woman that I thought was the one, and go out and make as much money as I could possibly make, so that I could do the things that I wanted to do, and have a beautiful family.
Yep.
Of course, life gets in the road, and things go awry. You'd ask, what did I try to instill in my boys from my history, my upbringing, and all that? Number one, I think, was honesty. I don't put up with people that lie, and integrity, a man's word. I tried to instill in them a curiosity about life and places, and I did the best I could under the circumstances that we had.
Oh, I think you did a fantastically awesome job with both of your children. I mean, they turned out amazingly well. I mean, they both had quite the adventure getting there, which all of us hardheads tend to do. You know, we've all had more than our fair share of bumps in the road, but eventually we learn what we're supposed to be doing and how we should be doing it. And once you stick to the formula, things work out great.
And I think that Michael and Josh are prime examples of what can be done.
Yeah. And you should be proud. You know, as people say, they come from good stock, and it's absolute truth. It is the fact that it is from the nurture more than nature of a child that these characteristics come about. Sure, there are a lot of things that we pick up from nature. There are a lot of things that we pick up epigenetically. You know, like I can feel my son's anxiety. You know, like, it's funny because I can tell Amy like what he wants. You know,
yeah.
And she's like, "How do you know that?" I'm like, "I can just tell." That's how I would squirm. You know, like, that's the dance I'd do if my pants were full. So, you know, like, I've started to already like understand his language and how he's speaking. And it does kind of take that empathic nature. You know.
Yeah.
And fortunately, like I've told Amy numerous times, and I'm sure you can attest to, it's the fact that because of the things that I did, I can spot all the trouble signs.
Yeah, well, you
I can spot all the signs of it actively happening. So there's going to be a great bullshit meter going on in the house. So, yeah, I don't know how much misbehaving you did as a kid, but I did a lot.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if we really cover it. You said your mom was a teacher. Was she a full-time teacher?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. She taught in high schools and colleges and privately.
Oh, wow. Okay. So was it a situation where, I guess, it may not have necessarily been called that when you were a kid, but I was definitely one. Were you a latchkey kid?
No.
No? Okay.
No. Growing up, my mom was always around.
Okay.
Pretty.
And, you know, that's something that I consider quite fortunate for Dalbus, is the fact that, you know, Amy's sometimes like, oh, I feel strange whenever I put him down, like in the rocker or stuff like that. And I'm like, sweetheart, you have to remember we are here 24/7 unless we're out on a gig, you know, like as opposed to most people who get to see their kid like for maybe 3 hours, you know, after they go pick them up from daycare once they get out of traffic, you know, and then get home from the grocery store and get food down their bellies, you know, maybe they get to see, hey, you want to have Mike join in on this?
Oh, sure.
All right.
Sure, is he calling?
Yeah. Hold on. We now have Michael Davis on the air with us. How you doing today, Mike?
Hey, I'm having a fantastic day. How you doing, Christopher?
Doing great. We were actually, your ears must have been burning. This is the most incredible circumstance ever on the Dudes and Beer podcast. As I sit
Very
here
nice.
And record a Dads and Beer episode with your father, Pops Davis.
Oh, fantastic. Hey, Pops, what's going on?
It's hot here in Dallas, and I'm happy to be in the AC.
Oh, right. Yeah, Mike was complaining about his 89 degrees the other day.
Yeah, I think we're at I think we're about 75 today. It's beautiful.
Ass.
Well, you know, hey, I did like that it cooled down, but I didn't want to go straight to fall.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
Seriously. Yeah, seriously.
Michael, we were just talking about Chris was asking me about my upbringing and what I had hoped to instill in my boys.
Mm-hmm.
What did I give to you?
What did you instill in?
You didn't have to go to the free clinic for.
Right.
I had to do it, Pop. You lobbed it over the plate.
That was wrong. He's softballing. Yeah, man. Yeah, the man's burying his soul, and you're hitting softballs at him.
I'm sorry.
That's pretty funny. I think probably the one thing that I'd have to say that was instilled in me by my father was my word. My word is my bond. It is the only thing that I have, and that really just, it comes down to your honor, right? Are you an honorable man? Are you not an honorable man? And I think Father, you taught me to be honorable. I think that's the number one thing you instilled in me.
I'm glad to hear him say that myself, because that's exactly what your dad just said.
That's the only thing I've got, right? Everything else is pretty superfluous. There's no amount of money no amount of enjoyment or, you know, leisure or, you know, there's nothing that will replace a man's honor and his word. And that's why I think I have such good friends. And I think that's why I think that's why my dad has such good friends. People who are family, you know, they're not just my friends, they're my family, because we actually choose family these days. Extended family.
Yeah.
It's the one thing that I think keeps people, trusting. I mean, it goes right to trust. If I can't trust what you say, then I can't really be around you.
Yeah.
That's how I operate.
Well, and it really goes back to a tribal mentality, you know? I mean, if you think about it, if I can't trust what you say, then how can I trust that you actually went out and hunted today?
Well, are you doing good
you didn't just like go and chill by the creek all day? And if you did, why didn't you bring some water back?
Are you doing good for the clan, entire clan?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Hands down. The other thing that I think that my father really instilled in me, is you do with what you have, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm talking about creativity, making lemonade out of lemons, eating what's put in front of you, when you grew up poor, right? I mean, I'd have to say we didn't grow up, terribly, enabled or, you know.
You didn't grow up with a case of affluenza.
No, right. Decadence, right? And you do with what you have, and you make it go. You may not be happy about it all the time, but you persevere, right?
Yeah.
One of the things that I've read last week that kind of hit me was, I can't think of who said it, adversity makes men and decadence makes monsters.
Oh.
And I think as a society, we've gone way far down the decadent road. There's very few of these kids who have any kind of adversity or,
nobody on the baseball team is better than the other.
Yeah.
And the score, you don't keep scores.
Yeah, yeah. I've had the conversation with Amy already, because I have it hanging on my wall. It was actually a slightly traumatizing thing as a kid, but yet still, because I saw my dad every other weekend. And, I played YMCA basketball. I played T-ball, flag football, all that kind of stuff. And my dad won this plaque one time whenever he got like regional salesman of the year or something like that. And it was a Vince Lombardi plaque of his famous speech, What It Takes to Be Number One. And that is what we had to read out loud before we went out to be on the playing field. And, like I told you before, Pops, I was not like, I did theater. But I did like I wanted to do like special effects makeup and prop building and, like run lighting. I didn't want to be the dude up on stage. The day I found tech theater, it was the most beautiful thing in the world.
right.
But, now I go back and I look at it and like I have a copy of What It Takes to Be Number One hanging on my kitchen wall. And I read every time I walk by it, I stop and I read it. Because, there is something about it. There is that concept of second place is only the first loser, and at some point in life, that mentality has to exist,
It exists in very few now. And this is something that I'm fighting the elementary school. To be honest with you, the superintendent of our school system is a good friend of mine, and I said, Bill, look, I'm fighting the whole, words and bullying, and it hurts people, and you can't do it. And I grew up with sticks and stones may break my bones, and words can never hurt me. Adversity, it created a man.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, and you know me, Mike. Even whenever you met me, I barely weighed 100 pounds wet, And I was like 18. 19, right? 6 foot tall, right? With like size 15 feet and red hair. I was a pretty easy target for people to make fun of if they wanted to. So I learned to make fun of myself pretty early on in life, by my grandfather's advice. If you can't laugh at yourself, you don't have a right to laugh at anybody. Right. So, hey,
that's right.
People tended to be laughing at me. So as long as I laughed at myself, I could laugh at anybody now.
That's why I like, I'll be honest with you, that's why I like throwing softballs to my friends sometimes, because you know what, it is pretty fun to laugh at myself.
And I did deal with bullies as a kid. Was that something that you, because I know we talked a little while ago, Pop, about your moving around quite a lot as a child, early on and even into high school. Is that something that you, always being the new guy, you know, every so frequently that you kind of learned how to deal with, or something that you had to deal with on the regs?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You anywhere you go, there's going to be a bully that's going to make their presence known. And you learn to deal with that in your own way. And it was part of a growing process for me, but I never had any. Like I said, I've been around the world. I have no problem with people.
I
can talk to anybody. So
yeah.
So it was learning how to empathize, I guess, with people that have different views.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because I literally just did an episode of Thinking Deeply that has not been released yet that is about sympathy versus empathy. And what the definitions of them are and which one is better for us in society. And, you know, like I said in that episode, in my 20s, it was hard for me to empathize. Like, I could feel sorry for people, things like that, but I didn't quite have the life experience yet. I didn't quite have the traction of the road under my feet enough to be able to fully empathize with everybody's situation. Now, having traveled the world a bit, having lived as much as I have, having owned my own business, things like that, I can empathize with a lot more people than I used to be able to. And I think that's the more important between the two, is empathy. Because, like, you can feel sorry for someone all day long, but how does that help them? If you can identify with them, then maybe you can help them, like, see a way out of their situation, find a way out. You know, advice is taken a little bit more to heart when someone can empathize with you than when they're just feeling sorry for you. And I think the feeling sorry is kind of where we got onto the path of the participation trophy.
Yeah, you're right. But yeah, you're absolutely correct, though. Empathy is a big part of being, in my mind, human.
Yeah.
Being able to adapt to different situations and understand, or at least try to understand, the opposite side. And only in politics has that not been the case, really.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not going to get too political, but like I told you today, and I found it interesting that you just joined Twitter. I find it awesomely awesome that you joined Twitter.
Nice, Dad.
For the reasons that you joined, Pop, so that you could tell people what was on your mind. That's why I started this show, because I like to think a lot of what's on my mind is on other people's mind. You know, I like to think I'm not the only person out there. And it's really funny, because my guests for tonight on the show are from Austin Resource Recovery. I'm having the people that put on the backyard chicken classes on. And the lady emailed me this morning, and was like, yeah, I was telling some of my friends to listen, and one of them was like, oh, no, I already listen every Tuesday night. I was like, that's awesome. Like, some random person actually listens to the show, you know, that's great, you know, like, and it was one of those, like, how far do we reach? How far does the ripple that we put in the water reach? And I think that that's where the empathy needs to come in, because like I said, if I've had the question, and like I was a philosophy student, you know, I put forth a lot of questions and thought real deep about a lot of questions. But if I have a question about something, I guarantee you some other people have a question about stuff.
Sure.
That's yeah, just the teacher sure. inside of me. You know, the only stupid question is the one that you don't ask.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's what I always taught my classes. Now, we were talking about education just a second ago. Mike was. As you have come up through school, as you've seen your children come up through school, and now your grandchildren, what would you say is probably the biggest missing link, the biggest difference that you actively see going on in our education system in America, Pop, as we get ready to wrap this episode here? Where do you think we are lacking right now?
Well, it's 100% lacking of parental
yeah,
participation. And it's a cultural thing, and it's perpetrated by the New World Order. And it's been ongoing that I've seen since I was in grade school, where we still said the Pledge of Allegiance and the Lord's Prayer. Because of the intervention of these monsters that want to control everyone, and they started it back in the 50s. And they said they will ruin us from within, and they have.
You're going down the road. You're going down the road of everybody's equal. Countries are not. You know, there's just one world, and we're all just one. You know, one people, kumbaya, in one world, and we know historically that you know.
God bless if that were the case.
Right, but you know, hey, Marxism is great in theory. Right?
Hey, even communism. If you go back to like the concept of original communism, the way that Jesus put it down, and the way that the disciples led it, where it's like you come in and give everything to the community. That's fantastic. Up until around 100 people. Then, unfortunately, you actually need a government in place to do everything.
Right. And you need borders.
Pops is definitely right about the Hessian education system and the fact that we've basically made, and I've definitely seen it as someone who came up in public school, then went to private school, then came out and like substitute taught, things like that. Mm-hmm. I saw the curriculum start to lighten. I've heard it from professors that I know. My old professor for sociology used to play in my band, and he would talk about it all the time. Like, Chris, I have college students whose parents call me and ask me why they're getting the grade they're getting. And I'm like, number one, who the hell are you? This is a 19-year-old person that we're talking about, so I really shouldn't be discussing their grades with you.
You know,
they're getting this grade because they don't do their work or they don't show up in class. So that's why.
Right. And the society and the education system, right, has put this tag, you know, special, you are special, on it. You know, you're special and you're special, you know, you don't have to follow the rules. And what I've told grown men within the last 5 years, you are not special. You may be unique.
Yeah.
But nobody is over anybody else. You are not special and outside of the rules.
Yeah.
Right? And that goes for me. And that goes, like Dad was saying, everybody on the baseball team is just the same. We all put our pants on the same, one leg at a time. You know,
well, you know, and there is that concept of, hey, you know, There's a lot of people on a team. They're a backup for backups, and not everybody gets the same amount of field time, you know. And that's a definite truth. Right. But is that any less part of the team? Is you know, that's why
that's
they let, like, I managed the basketball team, but I still lettered because I was a pretty important part of the team. I kept the stats, you know. I did all kinds
of
team.
Stuff.
It was a team.
It's a team. It's not, yeah, it's not special snowflake.
Yeah. Yeah. And
you're unique on the team.
Yeah. And I think, quite honestly, referring right back to the beginning of this show where we were talking about the way you were brought up, Pop, the way that my grandfather brought me up and the way that my dad instilled in me work ethic and manual work, things like that. I personally think what's missing more and more out of our education system is actual labor force training, industrial arts, shop classes, auto shop.
You know what it is?
You know,
beauty, and
beauty,
I'm a,
training.
I'm a brain guy.
Cosmetology for girls or boys. Either one. You could be a stylist. You make a hell of a lot of money as a barber.
Sure enough.
You know?
It's doing. We're missing the doing part.
Exactly.
And we have to couple that with the very idea of doing and thinking, right?
Well, and no offense, Michael, but you're a prime example that I use on this show all the time. And I know that you're not like a Google user, so you can't get the app on your phone. Firmly understand that. I know you get a chance between your three kids and your business and everything to listen every once in a while via the website. But the example that I use is your double major in college of biology and theater.
There you go.
And what is it that you do for a living?
I am an accredited asset management specialist, financial advisor.
Yeah, yeah, nothing at all to do with acting
or biology.
Or biology.
I did it right. I went to the college for financial planning and got my seven and now I work with money.
And me, I took the just circuitous route of like, oh, let me go down the road for 10 years and go to college and try to figure something out. And then someday somebody wanted to give me money for what I was doing in high school technical theater. And I was like, oh, wow. Well, where's this been?
I like this. Yeah. Yeah.
And
right
back to where I was, whereas, you know, not that acting isn't a skill, not that it isn't a good trade to learn, not that it isn't a saleable trade. Hey, you know, it's definitely going to get you much further in the sales realm, things like that. But for me, it was the fact of in technical theater, I got to work with my hands. And where I learned that was shop class. I learned I enjoyed using tools and building things and stuff from shop class. And without that, I wouldn't have got into the plugging of wires. You know, even my grandfather encouraging my inventing and my horrible, horrible circuit bending and destroying of electrical items as a kid was training me for future work. And it was literally teaching me a trade. You know, like that's how I learned to use a soldering iron, stuff like that.
When you do what you love, it's not work, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I think that's probably what I'm going to try to instill more than anything in Dalbus is despite anything they're teaching you in school, you still got to go to school. You still got to learn everything they need you to learn, bro. Sorry. I had to go through it. It sucked. You're going to have to go through it. It's going to suck. But I'm here for you. I know, little man. It's all right. You ain't there yet. You got a few years yet, so don't worry about it. Dad will get to twist your brain properly before you get there.
That's right.
He already enjoys watching his Batman animated series, so he's doing well. But for me, it's the fact of whatever you're doing in life, love what you're doing. Love what you're doing. Because that will go beyond anything. That will carry you through life. Like we were talking about earlier, Pop, you decided that you wanted to travel. That's what you wanted to do. And you went out. You did it. You made that dream happen. And that's what it's about, is seeing it and seizing it and actually actively chasing after what you want.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I I was blessed, but to be blessed that way, you have to actively seek it.
That's just it. You're blessed with the breaks you make.
You know how I spell luck, right?
Money.
W-O-R-K.
Right? Well, no, and it's absolutely right. True, because it is work to be in the right place at the right time, you know? Like, hey, there are times where I don't feel like taking a meeting or a phone call, and yeah, you know, like I miss the gig because I call the dude back like an hour later, and it's like, dude, just because I wanted like that 30 minutes to be left alone, you know, I now missed out on something. And it's the work, and it's putting in the time, it's putting in the effort, and that's where we get our success from. And I think that's something that I've seen you instill in your children, Michael. I know that Pops instilled that in you and Joshua. I know my father instilled it in me. My mom instilled it in me, is that you are what you make of yourself.
Your choices are your character.
That's right. And speaking of characters, guys, I'd like to thank y'all so much. Michael, I'd like to thank you for just randomly calling and chiming in on this episode.
I love you both. I love you both so much.
Well, love you too, man. And you're one of the only men that I actively say I love you to. You know, I've talked about that on Thinking Deeply. I don't use the word love lightly. It's I will move the world for you.
Y'all make my heart sing. Y'all make my heart sing.
That's it.
I would go over broken glass and whatever it takes.
Oh, don't do that.
In
I think
my
that's
case,
a pre-existing condition.
I tell you, I know for a fact that he has gone through broken glass for me before.
Do it again, Dad.
Yeah. That's a big prideful thing for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just it, you know, to know that, like we said earlier, whenever we asked Michael, what you instilled in him, y'all both echoed the exact same thing. And it's because, that is the most important thing. That's where it all starts. It all starts with our word. Our word is our bond. What we say we are going to do in life, we should do.
And stick to it.
And your children are going to watch every move you make.
That's it. And, you know, and that's why, you know, like recently I went through the legal effort of, like I told you before the show, going through and LLCing my business. I've been actively getting on-site insurance and things like that now. You know, I went through, and even this podcast, all iterations of all my podcasts and businesses are now DBAs under my LLC. So, and it's all to protect this little guy, you know, it's all to make sure that, if somebody trips over my cable, they can't come take the car that gets my kid to school, you know,
right,
or that gets my kid to the doctor, that kind of stuff. And you little man. It is seeing that in the future, and making sure that you lay down the best groundwork that you can. And I think you gentlemen, both, have and will continue to lay that groundwork. Both you with your kids, Michael, as well as you as a grandfather with his children and Joshua's, pops. So, thank you guys so much for being on today. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
Great talking to you.
Well, absolutely.
Talk to you later.
And, you know, as we finish this up, everybody, remember, take care of yourselves, take care of each other. And if you can't be good,
thank you for tuning in to this edition of Dads and Beer. To listen to our audio streams and chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for both Android and iOS devices, available on the Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Spreaker, SoundCloud, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the Revolution Digital Group family of podcasts. Thanks for listening, everybody. And until next time, drink responsibly.